Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we'd like to thank you all for tuning in. Today in the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the operations of divine mind and the benefit of knowing this truth. Listen as we explain the outside world is a mental image, and the more divinely mental, the more harmonious and indestructible the appearance. In this show, we will explain the advantage of spiritual perception and the principle of oneness. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and live in the knowledge of divine mind. Swami, I see the title of today's show is The Dynamic Range of Divine Mind. Sounds like we could use some explanation here.
Yeah, I'd like to focus on the difference between thinking and knowing and use some of the advances in technology to see how science is catching up with Mary Baker Eddy to some degree. The first observation is the recognition of perfection as being a more attainable goal thanks to the computer and AI, artificial intelligence. Thanks to the computer, the human standard has been lifted dramatically from what was considered good back in 1900 when Mary Baker Eddy was still alive. Advances in the automobile and the telephone, for me, are the most obvious. But today, let's look at photography to create a metaphor for thinking. The term dynamic range used in photography becomes a great metaphor for advancement in thinking made visible. The idea of forgiveness translated into image capture back to the earlier stages of a camera, the snapshot was the final outcome, with very little room for improvement. Today, with newer cameras, there is a broader allowance to the snapshot that can be rectified in post-production. By adding information to a file, enables options for the original event to make adjustments to alter the outcome. This is very interesting with regard to applying it to real-life circumstances and the idea of being able to heal, to change an outcome. And this is what I'd like to focus on in this show.
When you're talking about the broader band of allowance, would you also say that we also need a broader band of awareness?
Yeah, this is exactly what we're getting at. The comparison of the mortal mind to a camera with limited functions and also some degree of dynamic range can be seen and applied in metaphysics. How we think is what we become, and with thought, along with belief, one can change outcomes from good to bad or bad to good. To break it down using the three modes of mortal thought, we can say the first degree is the simple camera, a light-on-film image. This is animal magnetism, or the lowest level of consciousness, instinct, appetite, preservation, survival. What we call Gemini, the lower mind in Kriya Yoga. The second degree is more modern digital electronic camera with a dynamic range capability. This is human intelligence, the mid-level of consciousness, perception, reason, memory, and intuition, the ability to make conscious choices based on values in accordance with universal order, what we would call Virgo, the mid-mind, in Kriya Yoga. The third degree is a modern camcorder or professional video recorder with audio, things like S-Log 3 formats. The collective consciousness outpicturing the world consciousness in full 4K ultra-high definition, what we call Sagittarius, the higher mind in Kriya Yoga. All these gadgets work in time and space and have their limitations to represent the perfect image. If this is as far as we go, we miss the message of the Christ and the discovery of Mary Baker Eddy. Life is perfect. And like you say, as we graduate from thinking with our five corporeal senses and we master these modes of mortal thinking, then walk reason through the open door of revelation, we now graduate to thinking with divine mind. The divine mind thinks in a completely different medium, and it is infinite, eternal, changeless, and perfect.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that you had talked about those electronics you mentioned, that they work in time and space. And I was just saying to a coworker the other day how we are so wrapped up in the concept of time. I think that is a huge limitation for us trying to be on a spiritual journey.
Well, see, that's it. The mental material concept of life has these limitations. It's in duality. Nothing is whole in this dimension of reality. And that's the frustration that we all go through trying to complete ourselves at this level of consciousness. The instruction Jesus gave the man at Bethesda was to rise. We have to come out of the belief in a finite mortal sense of life. And this is 180 degrees from where we're socialized. I mean, the entire medical model examines the body. They're trying to figure out how the unreal became real. And what we're learning is we have to give ourselves this half of turn. Just like you couldn't get all of the benefits of dynamic range with the cameras Mary Baker Eddy was familiar with. So you need a camera that has dynamic range in order to get the benefit of this allowance, this forgiveness in photography. And the same is true with the recommendations or request of Scripture. We must repent. We must think differently. We have to know the difference between thinking and knowing. Otherwise, you're trying to get the benefit of modern technology with antiquated equipment.
When you were talking about those electronics having the limitations to represent the perfect image, I think that is something that we are all trying to do, represent perfect image of God or spirit, but yet we have these limitations. So how do we get past that?
First thing, we have to realize the mental material concept is the veil, a false sense of existence. We're not trying to make ourselves whole and complete. We are whole and complete. We are spirit. Right here, right now, and that's all that's here, is one perfect divine life. We have to come out of the belief we're not. And so we are looking at what isn't there, but we are blind to what is there because we're working with a mind that can't bring forth the divine image. And so we have to graduate from thinking with five corporeal senses to knowing with seven spiritual senses. And then when you have that capability, when you graduate from thinking to knowing, then you're working with equipment that has a much greater band of allowance. Divine mind If you think about in comparison to shooting or trying to take a picture with a camera that doesn't have this dynamic range built into it, you're limited. Now, we're working with a mind beyond doing one thing at a time or even beyond doing many things at once to doing everything at once. Divine mind is absolute. It's eternal. And so perfection is within the framework of the divine function.
So Swami, I have a question. I'm hoping that you could maybe explain dynamic range in such a way that I could apply it to how that goes towards divine mind.
In this model, consciousness is experience. What is appearing in our corporeal senses is the monitor. And so we are trying to externalize divine truth. Our purpose of this existence is to be that place where divine truth expresses itself through you as you, to glorify the Creator. In order to do this with any degree of success, you have to have an understanding of your goal. To be perfect as your Father, for me to be a good representation for the divine principle, I must bring forth divine qualities. And so when you're looking at photography, this idea of dynamic range, you take a photo and it gives you one stop overexposure, one stop underexposure. Which then, if you were a little bit off with your snapshot, when you produce this in software, you can dial it back in. Now, this is all well and good when you're working with mental material information. But what we're talking about here is revealing the truth. The dynamic range of divine mind is absolute. It's spirit. Everywhere, always. So now you're taking an image that has everything, everywhere, always. So perfection is always at hand. You always have the information in divine mind. You don't have to try and capture it. It's there. What we do need is the hardware. We need to know the difference between thinking and knowing. Working with five corporeal senses, with the limitations of this mortal mind, world mind, with a belief in two powers, to understanding life to be everywhere, always, perfect, whole, complete. Now that's a very different dynamic. But that's what we are aspiring to do, is to know ourselves in the way that we're known by the Creator. And then we outpicture the divine image and likeness and not the mental material concept about that.
Swami, how can the concept of dynamic range of the divine mind help humanity attain the spiritual request of perfection?
Well, I think first and foremost, divine mind is absolute, which then gives us the possibility of it, that if we start to understand the difference between the mental material concept of life and eternal life, the difference between mortality and immortality, then you can start to build your mental landscape in a way that will enable you to educate your thought up to spiritual apprehension. At some point, we must walk reason through the open door of revelation. We know the truth. Life is perfect. It's whole. It's complete. But in knowing this truth, you realize there's no false sense of existence. It's the idea that darkness is not an opposing power to light, it's the absence of light. Ignorance is not an opposing power to truth, it's the absence of truth.
We're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. Listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance at Institute for Personal Development Incorporated, Kriya Yoga Ashram, is a complete program for anyone looking to demonstrate divine law with scientific certainty. To demonstrate divine law, conscious awareness of divine truth is necessary. The spiritual advance starts with the divine creation, beginning with the principle, life is perfect, resting in the knowledge life is eternal, formless, changeless, and absolute good. The practitioner retreats from the obstructions which are the veiling conditions of the mortal mind, then rests in the knowledge of the divine principle, thus revealing the precept, consciousness is experience. Visit the website www.ipdtransform.com and begin living under spiritual truth. Welcome back. For those who are just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, earlier you did say the word forgiveness. So what is the difference between the mortal sense of forgiveness and the immortal truth?
Yeah, see, this idea of the mortal sense of forgiveness recognizes there is a certain range to correct something or to excuse something, whereas the dynamic range of the divine mind contains every tolerance. It's everything. And in truth, there is never anything to forgive. Truth is perfect. Nothing ever needs to be added to it or taken away from it. That's the idea of immortal truth. The spiritual fact of being is perfection. That's the natural state of creation. That's the divine creation. And that becomes your principle. Life is perfect. It's whole. It's complete. Now, the only way that we can administer that truth is in identity. You can't be in two-ness and administer the dynamics of one power, the dynamics of eternal life, the perfection of being. And so any idea or any concept of separation violates that spiritual law of oneness.
So, Swami, now I think it's time to listen to a soundbite that we have from Herb Fitch.
Yeah, this is from Revelation of St. John, Class 5B. And if anybody's interested in the full audio file or the complete program, you can get this at mysticalprinciples.com, and I'll play it.
You must witness that in your consciousness. And just as imperfection shows forth in our lives because our consciousness is still in that childish state which cannot be one with the infinite, as you accept this in consciousness, becoming one with the infinite, then the truth outpictures just as easily as the lie had outpictured. The thought externalizes as divine thought externalized. The great message of the activity of Jesus on earth is revealed as one who discovered himself to be pure spirit even as early as the age of 12, and from then on, living not in the five senses, was about his Father's business, in a spiritual body which he called the light. And looking not at the world through five senses, he saw that perfection which is omnipresent and appeared as the healing of those who came to him. His consciousness, not in five senses, externalized as the healing, the visible manifestation of the Word, of the perfection that is omnipresent now. And your acceptance of the reality of your being, the ability not to demand perfection or to seek perfection, but to accept it as the natural dispensation of spiritual identity, as the only reality on this earth, and not to go out seeking it or to make it so or to find it or to ask and knock for it, but to accept my name. Christ within, the Father within is my name. That is your name. And when you accept my name as your name, you are accepting that God is your Father, that Spirit is your substance, Spirit is your source, Spirit is your law. You are accepting that all that the Spirit has, I have. The consciousness of Spirit is the consciousness of you. And the five-sense consciousness, the second consciousness, the false sense of consciousness, is slain as Antipas was slain, by your realization of the truth of your being. Every time you accept an imperfection, right where that imperfection is, you have stated, God is not there. You know you're wrong. God is there. And God cannot be there and the imperfection. Why do we make this ridiculous declaration then? Because we live in a five-sense mind which makes it for us, independent of our will, controlling us. But as we control the five-sense mind, we can look at every form of imperfection knowing it is a total illusion of the senses. Its presence there, if it were real, would be a banishment of God. God cannot be there and that error too. Now let's turn it around. Let's get out of our negatives. Let's see, the truth of being is that perfection is the natural condition of the presence of God. And once you have accepted the presence of God as everywhere, you cannot turn around and find imperfection where that presence is. It's inconsistent. Once omnipresence of God is the law of your being and you accept it, then the omnipresence of perfection is automatic. And you accept it, then what would you do when the opposite appears? You recognize it as a five-sense image. A lie about the presence of God. Just as if somebody said to you, the sun isn't in the sky anymore. What would you do about it? Nothing. You know the truth. The sun is in the sky. And the same with the imperfection. It is now coming to you and saying, the sun isn't in the sky. God isn't here. But God is. And only God is. And it is the ability to stand there and rest in the knowledge that God is. Perfection is. Until the joy begins to well up from deep within you, because when you know that God is, and perfection is, and consciousness is, oh, then I am that perfection. Every defect I think I have is a misperception of the senses. God is right here. Perfection is right here. I am looking through a five-sense mind.
So, Mr. Listening to that, it reminded me of what you were talking about earlier about the three modes of mortal thought. And you said how we think is what we become, which kind of also led me to think that you always say repent means to think differently. Can you comment on that for us?
Yeah, for me, thinking differently is similar to photography in that there is a learning curve. You can't shoot a wedding video with a 50-year-old camera, and you can't know the truth with the mortal mind. So there has to be an upgrade in equipment. Let's look at something Mary Baker Eddy wrote in Body, and I'll read it. We live in a universe of perfect form. Not only our body, but all that is formed is literally the body of God and is perfect now. To believe that the infinite substance has been malformed through the ignorant mental activity of the individual and must be redeemed and perfected through the same activity is to see not one power, but two. There is no condition in the body. There is nothing in the body to be rebuilt or straightened or healed. There is nothing to change. There is nothing needed but to see God. Stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. Your spoken word is not needed to make wholeness manifest, for wholeness is the eternal state of the unseen and the seen, the unformed and the formed. But it is needed for your unfoldment, for the unfolding and broadening and deepening of the individual until he realizes this perfection. Stop trying to think God into manifestation. God is manifest now. God's glory and perfection are everywhere visible to him that hath eyes to see. End of quote. This is exactly what we're talking about, to have eyes to see, to graduate from thinking with the five corporeal senses to knowing with your seven spiritual senses. What Mary Baker Eddy called prayer and Joel Goldsmith called meditation are the same thing. It is living above corporeal sense and knowing this truth. And I like what Mary Baker Eddy said. Live above corporeal sense and correct it. You have to prove what you're calling truth is the one true truth and that you're not still stuck in one of these modes of mortal thought. You're still not liberated from the influence of the mortal mind. And so healing becomes your litmus test.
Swami, so for healing to outpicture in our environment, there must be some kind of a process or procedure. And again, I ask you, where do we begin?
Well, I think what we do is we understand some of the fundamentals here. How we think is what we become. Consciousness is experience. You use the testimony of your corporeal senses as the check engine light on the dashboard of consciousness. Like Herb said, you can't be conscious of divine truth and be outpicturing sickness, suffering, disease, lack, or limitation. That's an impossibility. So we start with an understanding of the operation of the divine principle, the power of oneness, the perfection of being. And then we learn you can't ask God to do anything for you. The minute you ask God, the idea of tempting the Lord God, you violate spiritual law. You're asking God to do something that God knows nothing about because God is running a perfect universe. And you're looking at what isn't there. So we have to be able to control how we think. We have to stop creating the false sense of existence. And then in silence and in stillness, we watch, we wait, we listen, and we let divine truth reveal itself in our experience. But you're not trying, striving, struggling, seeking, planning, or even asking. You're resting in the knowledge. You have to know life is perfect. And then in that silence and in that stillness, when divine mind recognizes itself as you, that is when you're in oneness. I and the Father are one. And in that oneness, you reflect the divine image and likeness, which is perfect, whole, and complete.
Swami, it seems to me, in order for us to stop perpetuating this false sense, we have to start knowing, know the truth.
Right. It's a two-part process. You stop thinking, which is creating the false sense of existence. You stop thinking with the mind that can't bring forth the divine image. The mortal mind works on contrast. It works in duality. It only knows that which is separate from the divine creation. And in that silence, you make your mind aware for the presence of divine mind, the truth of being. And by not trying, striving, struggling, seeking, planning, or asking, we wait on the Lord. We let divine mind take over the scientific government of our body. And then how do I know what has just taken over my body is the divine principle? Well, it would be from the fruits. You can't get figs from thistle. And you can't get truth and wholeness from fear and limitation. And if you're outpicturing things that are imperfect, lacking, limited, you know that they don't come from divine mind. You have divine mind, but it only knows divine truth. And so persons, places, things are not the divine creation. And so you treat them differently. They're the imposter. They're the intruder. And you rest in the knowledge. The only thing that is here is divine perfection. Until I have eyes to see the truth of being. And then I know the truth. And I live under the protection of that divine law.
That completes our show for today. Listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. On any of the pages, as you scroll down, you'll see several buttons there that you can press to further your understandings. Swami, any final thought about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and live in the knowledge of divine mind. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga realization. Namaste.